Let's get started. There's a story of a lady who walks into a pet store to get some food for her cat. So at the front of the store, by the door, was a parrot who would see everyone that came in and left. Well, as this lady is walking by this parrot, the parrot looks at her and says, "You sure are ugly." She couldn't believe her ears. She said, "Excuse me, what did you say?" So the parrot says, "You know what I said. You sure are ugly." The rude behavior of the parrot angers her, so she demands to see the owner. The owner comes out and asks the lady what happened. After she tells him, the store owner takes the parrot into the back room. After a loud commotion in the back, the owner returns with the parrot, and the parrot apologizes to the lady. Well, a week later, the lady enters the pet store again. Once again, the parrot looks at her and says, "You sure are ugly." She can't believe it. So she once again calls out for the owner. Once again, the owner takes the parrot into the back room, and once again, there's a loud commotion. This time, the lady sees feathers flying from the back room. She smiles, and she thinks that old bird's getting what he deserves. The owner returns with the parrot once again, tells the parrot to apologize to the lady. Then the owner looks at the bird and says, "Don't you ever tell that woman she is ugly again. You got it?" The parrot shakes his head slowly in agreement, and the woman leaves the store. Another week passes. The lady once again enters the store. She walks past the parrot. Surprisingly enough, the parrot does not say one single word to her. She gets what she needs, and as she's leaving the store, the parrot yells to her, "Hey, you." She turns around and says, "What do you want?" The parrot looks at her and says, "You know." I don't know why I thought that was so funny. I just thought that was good. There you go, your joke of the week. I think that parrot might end up in some stew, I don't know, or a gift for her cat maybe. Well, I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, spending time with family and friends. This is usually the weekend that everybody's in a turkey coma and you're sleeping during the message, so I am watching especially close today, especially you, Gene. I'm watching, okay? I see you over there. If you have your Bible or Bible app, go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. I believe I have a great truth to share with you today that I've been waiting to share, kind of a one-off message, so to speak. It's not part of a series, kind of a break in between Thanksgiving and Christmas here. And this week we'll be setting up for Christmas, getting all the trees put up. And just a heads up, a couple of things as we head into the Christmas season. Our great toy giveaway, which I mentioned earlier, is going to be the morning of Sunday, December 17th. Our goal is to give away more than 1,000 pre-wrapped toys that month. It's going to be a great blessing to our community. It's always an amazing day. And then Christmas Eve this year actually falls on a Sunday. So we're going to be doing two services that day. We're going to do a 10 a.m. family service, and we're also going to do a 5 p.m. Christmas Eve service that day as well. So we're going to have two services that day. Okay, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. We're going to be reading through verse number 9 this morning, and here's what it says. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised to Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all of the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful," this is verse 7, "be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the left or to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm calling this message, How to Get the Attention of God. Father, for the next few moments, I ask that you would give me the mind of Christ. God, that you would anoint these words. God, that when they go forward, they will penetrate the hearts and the lives of your people, God, that they would leave this place different and challenged. I ask it in Jesus' name, and I thank you today for your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you a little background to set the scene of this leading into Joshua chapter 1. In the book of Exodus, we read that God's people, they're slaves in Egypt. God calls a man named Moses to lead them out of Egypt into a land he has promised called Canaan. God is going to give this land to his people. So Moses leads them out of slavery, but because of the disobedience of the people and the unbelief, an 11-day journey takes them 40 years. So 40 years have passed. They are standing at the threshold of the land that God promised them 40 years ago, and Moses, their leader, the one that had led them for all these years, has now died. After Moses' death, God appoints a man named Joshua to take his place. We see this in Joshua chapter 1, which we just read. God places his anointing and favor on this man, Joshua, to now lead the charge. The book of Joshua as a whole focuses on God's people taking possession of the land now under Joshua's leadership. Now, of all the people that God could have chosen for this task, God selects Joshua. God could have picked anybody. He had his pick of the litter, but God chose this man. And it makes me ask the question, why out of all of the people did God choose Joshua? And I believe there was something about Joshua that caught the attention of God, and because of that, God elevates him and God promotes him. I want you to know that God's anointing and God's favor is available to you. Joshua is no different than me or you or any of us. He's no more special than any of us, but God used him mightily. And God does not play favorites. Joshua wasn't a favorite of God. But here's the thing about God, his promises are conditional promises. Listen to me very carefully. Basically, God says, if you do this, then I will do that. If you do not do this, then I will not do that. But the choice is yours. So many of the promises of God are put into motion by what we choose to do. Many times we want the blessing without the obedience. I'm going to say that again. A lot of times we want to be blessed by God, but we don't want to obey God. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now listen, to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. It says that God is searching the earth for men and women who have a heart that is blameless toward him. And I wonder when he looks down at this church, who he finds that fits this description. You see, I believe there are two distinct things that God is looking for. And we see both of them here in the life of Joseph. The first one, God is looking for those that are faithful. Look at verse 1 again. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Notice it says that Joshua was Moses' assistant. This means Joshua was a servant. He served him and he served faithfully. Joshua served Moses for 40 years. He was the faithful steward of another man's vision. As a matter of fact, Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11 says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." Joshua was faithful. He was known as the custodian of the tent, meaning he would take care of the day-to-day details of the tent that nobody else would see. He would work behind the scenes. There was no glamour in this position. There was no spotlight. He just served behind the scenes day after day, week after week, year after year, and he served faithfully, never once trying to promote himself, never once trying to step over his authority. He did not push for a position. He just served, and he did so for years, and his faithfulness caught the attention of God, and when it came time, God elevated him and anointed him for the task. I remember the very first church Kyla and I were in. We were, that's where we started our ministry. I remember we were just servants. We were just fresh out of high school. And I remember the church needed help with the custodial duties. So we took it. So every weekend we went in and we helped clean the church. We did that for quite a while. Nobody seen it. Nobody patted us on the back. Nobody said good job, but we were faithful. Then we were asked to teach a high school Sunday school class. I've told you that story. We said we would. We only had two students, and we taught in the basement of the church, and we taught faithfully. About a year later, we were asked to lead the kids ministry. We had no clue how to lead a kids ministry, but that's where the pastor needed help, so we did it. And it was tough. I remember working 50, 60 hours a week, working full time, and preparing everything for the kids for the weekends. Kyla ran the nursery at that time. She was in the nursery nearly every week, and we were just volunteers. But we stayed faithful. We were there every week because we had made a commitment to be there every week. And after a couple of years of doing that, God opened a door, and we were contacted by a church 30 minutes away to now become their children's pastor part-time, with the goal of going full-time in 6 months to a year. But there was no guarantees, so we moved into that role. We were there several years fulfilling the vision of that pastor faithfully, whatever he needed. Kyla missed most services because she was serving kids in the nursery. God then opened a door to Colorado. We were in Colorado a few years serving the vision of that pastor. Then we got the call to Arizona. We served the vision of that pastor for several years. 20 years we served the vision of someone else behind the scenes. And we did many of the things that we did, nobody seen but God. He's seen every toilet that we have unplugged and all of the vomit we've cleaned off of the carpet. He has also seen our faithfulness to the leaders that he has placed us under. I remember one time in Colorado, the pastor asked me, "Hey, right after the worship time, would you come up to the stage and would you pray and would you share a word of encouragement to the congregation?" And so I said, "Yeah, absolutely." And I did that. So after the service, I kid you not, true story, a man walks up to me. And he says, "You know, Pastor, I've been coming to this church for 10 years. My spot, I probably spoke for 2 to 3 minutes, mind you. He goes, "I've been coming to this church for 10 years now, and I got more out of what you just said in the last 5 minutes than I have in the entire 10 years I've been in this church." Basically, in a roundabout way, he was tearing down my pastor and he was elevating me. So it ticked me off, and this guy is singing my praises. I looked at him and I said, true story, I looked at him right in the eye and I said, "You are in rebellion and you need to repent." You should have seen the guy's face. Because he's trying to pay me a compliment, but I knew it for what it really was. It was flattery. He looked at me and said, "I'm not in rebellion. I have a higher authority, and that's God." I said, "Who do you think put our pastor in his position? It wasn't you." Needless to say, he never complimented me again. But I wasn't going to take the bait and push myself over the very person that God told me to serve under. No one was watching that conversation that day, but God was. And I believe it was a test. I could have eaten that up. I know people that would eat that up. I could have fed right into that, but I knew God was watching. Would I be faithful? Let me tell you something. God hears every word spoken behind closed doors. And some of you are wondering why you haven't been promoted at work yet. But you bash your boss to other people. You constantly complain, you constantly bicker and moan instead of doing the job that you're being paid to do with a good attitude. Could things be better? Absolutely. Every job on the planet, things could be better. I'm telling you. And we wonder why promotion passes us by. It's your choice. God hears everything. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3 says, the Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. The key is to be faithful, even when nobody is watching, especially when nobody is watching. 20 years, Kyle and I served the vision of another man. And then the day came where he called us to Green Bay. And when he called us to Green Bay, he gave us our own vision. And look at what he has done. You see, though, we don't like to wait. We want to be faithful one day and then move forward. You'll be surprised at the number of people that I have come up to me and say, Pastor, God has given me a word, and I'd really feel like I'm supposed to share it with the congregation. Most of the time, it's people I've never met. I don't know them from Adam. So I say, wonderful, be here Tuesday night from 4 to 6 and help us feed people. Or be here Wednesday night and ride our buses. Not just one time, but consistently. Let's start there and then we'll talk. You know how many of the word people have showed up to serve? Zero. Never have they showed up to serve. You see, many of us want the light of the stage, but we also want to completely skip God's process to get there. God's process is faithfulness, serving the vision of another. Listen to me. If you want God's attention, it is found through faithfulness. And God is looking for people that are faithful, that are people of their word. They say they're going to be there, and they show up, and they do what is expected of them. The second thing, God is looking for those who are obedient. Look at verse 7 again. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then, you see this word then? Then, this is a, if you do this, I will do this type of thing. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then, there it is again, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Obedience. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 14. This is truly remarkable. Starting at verse number 19, Jesus says, he's talking to his disciples and he says, soon the world will no longer see me. But then he looks at him and says, but you will see me. Now he's talking to his disciples and he's referencing his future death on the cross. He says that when this happens, those in the world will no longer see him any longer, but they, his disciples, those that follow him, will continue to see him. He tells his disciples they will see him. The word see here is translated to appear. He is telling his disciples that even after he is dead, even after he is risen, he will still appear to them. And some people think that he's referring to his resurrected state. After he rose from the dead, he was seen. But after he's resurrected, more people than just his disciples see him. 500 people end up seeing him to bear witness. So he's got to be talking about something else. And if we keep reading, we'll see exactly what he's talking about. John chapter 14 and verse 21. He says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, My Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? And Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and we will make our home with each of them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey me. Jesus says that the person who knows his word and obeys his word is the person that loves him. There's a difference between knowing the word of God and hearing the word of knowing the word of God, hearing the word of God, and obeying the word of God. Jesus says that the person that does both of them, hears it, knows it, and obeys it, is the one that loves him. Let me paint a word picture to help you understand here what Jesus is saying. Imagine for a moment, two people walk into a church service. They sit right in the front row. They lift their hands during worship time. They sing the songs. They give in the offering. When the message is preached, they jump up and down. They yell amen. They tell the preacher how much they love him. Now, I'm just telling you what the ideal church attendee looks like, just in case you're wondering right there, okay? I'm just kidding. I'm just messing. But the fact is, they hear the exact same message. They're hearing the same thing. So far, everything is the same. They've both received the word of God. Now that they have both received the word of God, they both have the same choice to make. One person decides, I'm going to apply the word of God to my life, and I'm going to start to walk in obedience. I'm going to start to become closer to Jesus every day. And little by little, you start to see their life begin to change because it's a daily commitment, not just a Sunday commitment. Little by little, they'll start to have a different appearance of those. They'll start acting different than they were before. They'll look different than those that they have normally been around. But the other person, they make a different decision. They walk out and they say, oh man, what a great word that was. But then it's business as usual for them. There's no commitment to change. Now, which person truly loves God? According to Jesus, it's the first person. The person that decides to obey his word. Their obedience is proof of their love for him. Here's the thing. God knows what's in our heart. We can be fake with people, but we cannot be fake with God. We can tell God we love him with our lips, but he knows what's in our heart. So what does Jesus say will happen when a person sets out to obey him? It says he will reveal himself to us. Translation, he tells his disciples, you will see me. He tells us, you will see me. Judas asks him to clarify. He's kind of confused by this. So verse 22 again. Judas, not Judas Iscariot. The other disciple said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not the world at large? So he's kind of confused by this. And Jesus responds with the same answer. All who love me will do what I say. Period. Jesus says, if we obey him, we will see him. He will reveal himself to us. I guarantee you, you will hear his voice clearer. Obedience gets the attention of God. Remember, many of the promises of God are conditional. If you do this, I will do that. If you don't do this, I won't do that. But it's ultimately our choice. But again, many of us want the blessing without the obedience. And it's hard because obedience requires sacrifice. You're going to have to give up some stuff that you really like. That's what sacrifice is. You don't have to, though. And that's the beauty of this. But if you choose to do, if you choose to honor God through obedience, he will manifest himself to you. You will experience his favor. You will experience his blessing like never before, and I'm telling you today, I'm speaking to you this from experience. I'm not preaching this by faith today. I have seen this work in my own life. For instance, I'm going to give you a personal example. Now, when I give you this personal example, I am in no way, shape, or form telling you you have to do this. I'm not that way. I don't do that. I'm just giving you an example to show you what we have done, but I never push my convictions on you, okay? So please don't say, hey, the pastor said I need to do. No, it's between you and God. This is just what we have chosen to do. This is what we did years ago. Years ago, we decided, my wife and I, man, we're going to go in all for God. We're gonna be faithful with what he's given us until he promotes us, until he leads us on, wherever that is. We're just going to be faithful. We are going to obey him. And so what we decided to do is we decided to get rid of all of the junk in our home. We put a lot of stuff into trash bags and just threw it out. A lot of stuff we spent money on, we threw into trash bags and we threw it out. One of the big things that we got rid of that we had a lot of, again, this is our conviction, was movies that were rated R. It's just too much filth in it. So we committed to honor God by doing our best not to let our eyes look at filth. There's even PG-13 movies we won't watch because they glorify the demonic and things like that. And if you notice, a lot of the horror movies nowadays are rated PG-13 because they're trying to attract the teenage crowd. Now, if you're not under my roof, you can do whatever you want. But if you are under my roof, this is the rules that you follow, and my kids will tell you that. Now, do I believe watching rated R movies are going to keep you out of heaven? No. I don't believe that if you watch a rated R movie, it's going to keep you out of heaven by any means. But I do believe if you allow yourself to be exposed to any kind of filth and sin, it will affect your anointing. It will. It might not keep you out of heaven, but I guarantee you it will affect your anointing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, now watch this. There's a lot of truth right here. It says, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything's good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Have you ever heard someone say that? I can do whatever I want. It's my life. Correct. You absolutely can. You are 100% right. You can do anything that you want. It is your life. It's the free will that God has given us. But not everything you decide to do will be good for you. Not everything you decide to do will be beneficial for you. As a matter of fact, some decisions that you make can alter the entire course of your life, completely missing what God has for you. And what we allow to see with our eyes is a big deal. Jesus himself says it is. Look at what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. This is what Jesus said. He said, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, basically when you look at wholesome things, okay, he's not talking about like physical, like eyesight, like I can see better than you, I need glasses, nothing like that. No, he's talking about what we look at, what we allow our eyes to see. He says, when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. There's power in what you look at. But when your eye is unhealthy, or it could say when you choose to look at vile things, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. So man, we threw out certain music. We threw out books, things like that. Again, I don't believe these things are going to keep you out of heaven, but take it from me, they do affect your anointing. The great evangelist Steve Hill once said, sin is anything Jesus wouldn't do. And that makes it pretty simple for me. And I like to ask the question, if Jesus would come in here right now and he would watch what I'm watching, would I be embarrassed? And if the answer is yes, it gets shut off. Some of us need to ask that when we're looking at our phones. If Jesus would tap me on the shoulder right now, would I be embarrassed? Some of us would probably drop it in the toilet. I don't know. Look, you don't have to do any of this stuff. This is 100% your choice. Obeying God, being faithful to God, 100% your choice. You don't have to do it. But if you want the attention of God, if you want to be the one that God uses
for His glory. He's looking for the person that is faithful and obedient. And it is the things that you do in private. And this, a lot of people don't understand this. It is the things you do in private. It's the things that nobody sees that will determine your destiny. Anybody can be a hero of the faith in the public eye. But if you honor Him privately, He will honor you publicly. And I've always been taught that, and I've seen it to be true. If you honor Him privately, He will honor you publicly. Both of these things, faithfulness and obedience, are what we do when no one's looking. And I want you to know that each and every one of you have the opportunity to be used mightily by God. He created you to change the world for Him, but the choice is yours. You have to commit to a life of faithfulness, and you have to commit to a life of obedience. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Sam, if you could go ahead and come on up at this time. Father, we thank You for Your word today. I know, God, it's a strong word. It's a challenging word. But there's so much life in these two words, faithfulness and obedience. And God, I believe that there's some people in this place right now that are listening to this message that are challenged today. God, Holy Spirit, even now You're beginning to work. You're beginning to move in their life. And God, when they do walk out of this place, they will be different. We can't change what we did yesterday. We can't change what we did last week. But God, we can walk out of this place and we can be different from this moment on. And so God, that is what I pray for each and every person, Lord. I believe, God, that there are world changers sitting in this room right now. I believe, God, there are world changers watching online right now, but they've got to get serious about You. They want the blessing. They want the blessing. But they haven't been faithful, and they haven't been obedient. And so, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I just pray that You would move right now and speak to each person right where they're at, God. We're all at a different place in our journey, and you are the only one that knows where we're at. So God, I just pray in Jesus' name, and I thank You for it today. I want you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed.